were sleeping by Thanks for Using Grammar. Read by Daisy Diversions.
Elani.
Mistborn Hero.
Nonplussed.
CC Rambles.
Fandom. Hikaru no Go. Relationship. Hikaru / Akira. Rating. Teen and up. Archive warning. Major character death. Additional tags for 5+1. Grief. Mourning. What kind of Hikiko fanfiction would it be without discussing the topics of grief, broskies? Pining. Honestly, guys, just a lot of sleep and feels. Fluff and angst. The character death is not Hikaru or for Akira. There is a happy ending. Summary. Shindo. Akira hissed, finally shaking him a bit rougher. Wake up. Shindo's mouth twitched, and he opened his glazed eyes, tugging the blanket a bit higher. Akira took a deep breath and leaned close, nose almost touching his cheek, voice carefully controlled. What are you doing in my bed? Or, 5 times Akira woke up with Hikaru, and the 1 time he woke up without him. Author's notes. This has been sitting in the drafts for possibly 3 years at this point. I thought it just deserved to be released into the world. Also, would like to clarify that, in case it wasn't clear, these instances take place several years apart, interspaced. Happy reading. Reader's notes. Thanks to Thanks for Using Grammar for giving us permission to podfic this work. We hope you enjoy.
One.
Akira woke up with someone's foot pressed into his leg. That was enough to startle him awake in and of itself, seeing as he's an only child that sleeps in his own room, but there was also the added fact that said foot was cold as an icebox, and he was abruptly yanked from his peaceful slumber by a combination of fear, confusion, and displeasure. He turned over, cracking his eyes open, to see the back of Shindo's head. He froze. His brain ran through possible courses of action at the speed of a bullet train. A truck trundled by outside the window. Slowly, tentatively, he sat up on his side, staring down at Shindo's profile. Shindo's mouth was slightly open, and he was drooling a bit, bundled up in Akira's blanket almost to the point of tangling himself in it. Akira reached out and tapped him on the shoulder. He didn't stir. Akira shook him a little. Shindo continued to emulate a brain-dead vegetable. Shindo! Akira hissed finally, shaking him a bit rougher. Wake up! Shindo's mouth twitched and he opened his glazed eyes, tugging the blanket a bit higher. Akira took a deep breath and leaned closer, nose almost touching his cheek, voice carefully controlled. What are you doing in my bed? Shindo only shifted and closed his eyes again with a deep sigh. Akira very calmly yanked the cover off his dumb, blanket-hogging body and was satisfied when Shindo groaned and curled up into a ball.
Come on, Shindo said.
There's a futon right over there, you know.
Akira referenced the guest futon he had put up for Shindo the night before. Shindo had crashed at Akira's place after Akira invited him over to play practice games for the league match Shindo had later that day.
It sucked, Shindo mumbled.
Coherent words. At least that's a start.
Yours is better.
Akira took a deep breath and counted to 10. But I put it out for you to sleep in. Shindo said something he couldn't make out, face pressed into the pillow, one of Akira's pillows, and Akira gave up, standing up with a resigned sigh. Just get up. Let's play a game before you leave. Shindo raised his head, eyes glittering with challenge, and Akira resolutely ignored how Shindo looked when he had just woken up, hair messy and falling in his face, pale and wiping sleep from his eyes, and focused instead on how harshly he's gonna punish Shindo in their game for creeping into his bed.
2. He'd never seen Shindo cry like he had in that game with Yong-ha. Bent over, defeated, frustrated, aching from an unseen wound. It reminded him of just how much he hides, how many sides of himself he turns away from the world. Akira was not arrogant enough to think that the words he offers Shindo after are any help. In fact, he felt himself sinking further out of his element with every second that passed. The first thing that Shindo does when they get back to the hotel is head for the shower, and Akira was left to trade looks with Yashiro. Yashiro sat back on his bed, heels digging into the mattress, sighing heavily.
It's over now.
It's not, Akira said almost automatically, before realizing Yashiro only meant the Hokuto cup. Yashiro raised an eyebrow, but only fell back onto the bed with a groan. Akira didn't say anything more. They didn't talk much, and Akira couldn't even consider proposing a round of speed go with Yashiro looking so defeated and Shindo's eyes looking so red. So they turned in earlier than usual, all of them presumably working through their loss in their own way. Akira's mind was filled with Shindo, convinced he was working through a different kind of loss than Akira. And it's hours before he can drift off, eyebrows furrowed, back hunched with tension. When he awoke, he was sore, as though his body had finally wrung out all the stress from the past week. Someone's chest was pressed into his back, an arm flung down across his side. Maybe it was because he was so tired, but he's not surprised at all. He didn't even move. Though one leg was bent awkwardly, and the circulation was beginning to be cut off. He wondered vaguely at what time Shindo decided to crawl in. Had he sat up waiting for Akira to fall asleep? Or had he woken up in the middle of some dream and gravitated towards the closest warm body? He heard the gentle rustling of sheets, and realized Yashiro must be waking up. There was a voice in him whispering that he should get up too, that he should abort before this is seen, but he can't bring himself to move. He can't help but remember yesterday. Shindo's tears, his broken words. Instead, he let his eyes fall closed again and willed the voice to be silent, just for now. He heard the bend of the mattress as Yashiro sat up, tried not to squirm through the pause that followed as he takes in the sight they made, in the same bed,
under the same sheets. And then the moment was broken as his bare feet padded across the room and disappeared into the bathroom. And Akira truly relaxed. The bathroom door was enough to wake Shindo, however, and Akira couldn't stop himself from feeling disappointed as he stirred against his back, froze, and slid out of bed. Akira pretended he'd just woken up, and he mumbled and pressed his head into the pillow, stomach roiling with guilt and desire. And fear. For one instant, Shindo's hand just barely ghosted over his shoulder. But it's gone as quick as it came, and the very same hand was soon banging on the bathroom door, demanding Yashiro better not use all of the hot water. And Akira is left to ache on his own.
Three. Making friendships isn't his forte. Parties, even less so. He went to a classmate's once, when he was younger, invited like all the other kids in his class. He barely lasted 3 hours. It was so loud. But Shindo's party was bearable. Most of his friends were content to chat and celebrate raucously around the go-board, spilling their drinks on the games, gossiping and laughing, barely paying attention to their opponents. Akira recognized some of Shindo's insei friends, other pros, a few strangers here and there. It surprised him, sometimes, how many people he shared Shindo with.
All right, everybody, shut up!
A boy named Waya shouted after a while, standing up and gesticulating wildly. Akira's ears rang from the loud voice in the enclosed space, and he looked away from the game that he was currently playing against a lazy Shindo.
I think we should hold a tournament. Give the birthday boy a run for his money. 17 games for 17 years.
They ended up playing well into the night, everybody leaving blurry-eyed and wound up. Akira stayed out of sheer stubbornness, demanding another game and another until they both passed out in Shindo's bedroom, gold stones scattered around their heavy bodies. Akira woke up when afternoon sunlight stabbed at his eyelids, sitting up with a tired groan. When he realized Shindo was sitting next to him, licking his cracked lips, it didn't come as much of a surprise. He noticed there were marks on Shindo's cheek from where his face had been pressed to the carpet, and considered teasing him about it, but his brain was too sleepy for snappy insults, and one must always keep on their toes when they were starting a row with Shindo.
Happy birthday, is what came out of his mouth instead.
Shindo yawned.
Oh, you said that yesterday.
I did.
Shindo only flopped back onto the floor, limbs curled in, and Akira was reminded of a dead insect.
It's noon,
Akira pointed out, rubbing his eyes.
Don't care. Wanna sleep in.
He yawned again.
Oh, it's my birthday.
It is your birthday,
Akira agreed, lying down again and closing his eyes. A headache was blooming inside his skull. There was rustling, and warmth pressed up against his side. Akira stiffened automatically, unused to casual touches, but Shindo didn't seem to care. He felt a single finger tapping on his chest, methodical, slow. Something in him ached suddenly, filling him up, and he swallowed and pressed it down. This was different than the incident after the Hokuto Cup. Then it was furtive, a little shameful. Now, Shindo didn't seem to care at all if Akira was awake or not.
What are you doing?
Shut up,
Shindo said, finger ceasing the motion in favor of spreading his warm hand across Akira's chest.
It's my birthday. Let me do what I want.
Akira lingered for a second or two, but he set up for good this time, standing before he could see the expression on Shindo's face.
I'll let you do what you want when you finally clean up this room. I was sleeping on your old t-shirts all night.
Shindo retorted angrily, all traces of softness gone with the burning rays of the sun, and Akira let himself fall back into their familiar dance.
4. It still didn't seem quite real to him. He was expecting his phone to be ringing with reporters and the colleagues of his brothers. He could picture their breathless voices in his head, the way they would ask, "Is it true?" Perhaps they thought it would be insensitive to contact him now. He was sitting with his mother on the train, holding her hand. The other passengers seemed to be giving them a wide berth, and frankly, he would have done the same. Mother's eyes were glistening with tears, rimmed red. Neither of them moved or shuddered. They were both stuck still, like statues guarding something. Something they had already lost. He didn't consciously think about returning to his family's home. He just followed Mother when they got off the train, like he was a little kid again. But that wasn't right. Mother would lead him when he was small, hand in hand. Now it was like they were both drifting in the same direction. They went through the front door, the hall, the kitchen, without speaking. He reached for a cup on a shelf with the fuzzy idea of getting them water. Was that what people did after a loss? What does one do after a loss this big? While Mother stood at the counter, purse dangling from her hand. Neither of them bothered to turn on the light, and in the darkness, she was no more than a grainy blur. A shadowy outline of a person. He stiffened at the sink when he heard her begin to weep. She had sobbed at the hospital, great, desperate, gasping sobs, but this was different, quieter, weaker. He would do anything to make it stop coming from his mother's mouth. "He's gone," she whispered, almost in prayer. Akira turned, set the glass down in front of her, and steadily drank from his own. He noticed his hands were shaking a little, but there were still no tears. Mother clutched at his arm like she was steadying herself, and he put his hand over hers. Should he embrace her? Cry with her? Comfort her? As though she sensed his discomfort, she reached for the water and downed it, trying to get her breathing under control. He experienced a flash of disgust with himself. What kind of person watches their mother cry and doesn't do anything about it? For that matter, what kind of person wouldn't grieve with her? What kind of person would feel nothing but shock after their father died before their eyes? Neither of them slept that night, Mother drifting to her bedroom, Akira laying down on the couch. He knew they had already converted his old room to storage, and he didn't feel like sleeping in his childhood room. Too many memories. It was only the next day, around noon, that the calls and visitors started to come. Swarms of them tramped up the front walk and knocked on the door with gifts, with kind words, and more than a few tears. Akira was the one that received most of them, his mother remaining in her bedroom. He was going through a fog, nodding, listening, responding accordingly. He knew that everywhere people were mourning Doja Koyo, swapping stories, replaying games. He should be out there with them, commemorating his father like he deserved, Akira couldn't help but think in a corner of his mouth. But it would all feel too soon, too odd, like he was talking about someone who's standing right next to him. The only thing that would honor him, that they shared, that is solid, is Go. And so, the next day, he showed up to work. It felt very normal, very day-to-day, and hideously wrong. People kept looking at him, only to immediately become fixated on a fake potted plant or a spot on the window whenever he caught their eye. A precious few worked up the courage to offer their sincere sympathies. He didn't know which was worse. He didn't know if he would rather be ignored or acknowledged. And yet, it was only when he faced his opponent across the board, that familiar blank page, that he really began to feel unsettled. Because Go was his passion, his language, his path, and as he held the black stone suspended above the board, he couldn't help but feel that it was foreign to him. The way of life, the value that it held, had all been taken away, and now it was nothing but a square of wood, rocks scattered across its lined surface. He couldn't place the stone that was balanced so awkwardly in his once familiar grip. Just thinking about doing it made him sick. The stone slipped from between his fingers, clattering on the empty board, and he jumped at the sound it made. His opponent, a middle-aged man whose name he couldn't remember, much less his stand level, was gazing at him sorrowfully behind his glasses. Pity etched in every crevice of his face. And Akira couldn't quiet the swell of rage that billowed up inside him suddenly, because he knew the man could see it, could see how pathetic he was, how everything had been knocked over and turned upside down, and Akira was scrambling in the remains, trying to regain his footing. Like there was an invisible hand pushing on his back. Akira bent over before consciously thinking about it. I choked. I resign. Forcing its way past his lips. He stood and left without looking back, though he was sure he could hear the whispers, focused on getting out, on getting home, getting somewhere that made sense. Akira knew it was horrible to leave his mother in her state, but he couldn't go back to his childhood house now. He promised himself he would go back later, just after he collected himself, but when he finally got to his apartment and sat on the uncomfortable couch he had bought weeks ago, he found himself slipping off into a blissful sleep. He awoke some time later, due to someone hammering on his front door. He sat up, debating whether or not to feign sleep until the well-wisher went away. The thought vanished, as the person assaulting his door said, "Toya, I know you're in there!" And Akira realized it was Hikaru. Who else would it be? It might have been a habit at this point, but Akira found himself getting up and going to the door before he realized what he was doing. Shindo would probably kick it down, eventually anyway. Akira almost wanted to laugh at how taken aback Shindo looked when he opened the door. He must really look terrible to provoke that reaction. He had an excuse, though. My father is dead. Toya, Hikaru said, quieter now, and Akira couldn't take this, didn't need this softness. Shindo, he said, shortly, his voice rough. Some kind of resolve solidified in Shindo's green eyes, eyes that Akira had looked into so many times. I heard you resigned your game. You heard right, Akira said, duly. That's bullshit, Akira flinched. Shindo looked, filled up, for want of a better word, flushed and angsty. What are you thinking, giving up like that? Akira grit his teeth. He didn't know which was worse, Shindo speaking to him like he was made of glass, or shouting like he was an irresponsible child that needed reprimanding. How to explain that he had forgotten how to breathe, how to blink, how does he say he's forgotten how to play Go? I didn't feel up to it. Well, it doesn't matter how you feel. Shindo shut dismissively. The world of pros doesn't stop moving depending on how you feel. Akira was momentarily speechless. He swayed a little on his feet. I can't, he whispered. Shindo looked at him for a hard minute. Sometimes, Akira thought, they spent all their time just looking. Play a game with me, Shindo insisted. Akira shook his head. Not today. Not today? Then when? Shindo pushed, physically stepping closer. Akira could probably count his eyelashes if he really wanted to. That was Shindo pushing, always pushing. Tomorrow? In a week? Longer than that? I want to be alone! Akira snapped, finally raising his voice above a murmur. You can have all the alone time you want, Shindo said. After you play me. Just one game. Akira's shoulders were heavy, but Shindo wasn't apologizing. He wasn't crying. He wasn't looking at Akira like he was made of fine china either. He looked upset, passionate, intense. Everything Akira had come to expect. It was a bit of normalcy in this nightmare of a week. Okay, he gave in, letting Shindo step smartly over the threshold like he owned the place. Shindo went and sat Sisa in one side of the kofan in the middle of the living room, every part of his body taut like a bow ready to fire. Akira noticed that he was gripping his fan in his fist, tight, white-knuckled. Akira sat across from him, in the same position they had been so many times. It made him uneasy to sit there now, though just 4 days ago he had studied it on this old, familiar board that now made him tremble inside. They chose for color, and Akira was white. Shindo laid his first snow with an aggressive cluck that resonated through the silent, empty house. There was a part of Akira that was wondering just why Shindo seemed so worked up, but the bigger parts of him were frozen, looking at that board that he had seen so many times, played on so many times, and now he was reduced to nothing in front of it, and nothing felt right. The one thing that always was supposed to feel right. Why are you taking so long? Shindo said flatly. Suddenly, anger like he hadn't known in a while flooded his veins, and Akira smacked his stone down with such force he was almost afraid he would break the coffin. Maybe he should. Shindo immediately snapped back, and they fell into an unsteady, jagged rhythm. Shindo was attempting to play Spirko, whereas Akira was stumbling along, searching for something. The rush he used to feel, the motivation to continue. Finally, Shindo snorted. If I knew you were gonna play this crappy, I wouldn't have asked for a game. Something in Akira snapped just then, something that had been pulled taut for too long. Then why didn't you just go home? He shouted. Why are you even here? I'm making sure you aren't losing your edge. Shindo's voice was low and hard, so unlike the theatrical shouting he was used to. And now, even this was changing, even Shindo was different, and this wasn't right at all. "I haven't lost my edge," Akira hurled back, though he felt like he was experiencing exactly that. "It's just, I only..." He curled over slightly. "I can't play Go right now. I just can't." "Akira," Shindo hissed, not sounding mad at all anymore. Akira looked up to see Shindo looking desperate, almost pained. "You can. I know you can." Akira started shaking his head, and it was like once he had started, he couldn't stop. "I can't. He taught me the game, he taught me everything, and now he's gone and I can't." Words failed him. How to make Shindo understand the terrible grief and the terrible guilt? "And he's still here," he shot out, "everywhere, and they all look at me like I'm, and I have to carry on, and..." His teeth chattered. "I'll never be what he was, do you understand?" His hands were clenched in his lap, blurry through the tears in his eyes. Akira hardly ever cried. He hated this. He hated the vulnerability. "Akira," Shindo said gently, and it sent him reeling to hear him say his first name like that. "I know you don't think so, but I understand." Akira made himself look up. Shindo was gazing at him straight back, his eyes deep and pained. And suddenly, Akira remembered all those games Shindo missed. Days Akira spent wandering after him, chasing him. And he thought Shindo might actually understand more than he gave him credit for. "I know what you are trying to do," Akira finally managed. "But I need time, that's all." He leveled his gaze towards him. "I'm not leaving forever." Shindo sagged and let out a shaking breath. Okay, I'm..." He seemed to come to himself then. "I'm sorry, Toya. I'm really sorry about your dad." Somehow, it didn't upset him to hear it when it came from Shindo. Akira nodded choppily, his heart in his throat. They stared at each other for a moment, and Akira realized he didn't really know what to do with Shindo when they weren't playing Go, or fighting. Akira cleared his throat and looked back down at the board. "Do you want to play video games?" Akira looked up at him incredulously. Shindo looked dead serious, but he thought he could see a bit of a shine in his eyes. "I brought my Switch." "Not really," Akira said honestly, and Shindo stood from his sitting position. "It's okay. You can just watch me play," he said dismissively, and rummaged through the backpack he had left by the wall. Akira bemusedly went to sit on the couch, still sniffing back mucus from crying, disgusting, as Shindo settled next to him with the Switch. He dully stared at the screen as Shindo ran around the pixelated Pokemon world and felt his head drooping back to rest on the cushion. "Nobody expects you to be him, you know," Shindo said simply, just as Akira started dozing off. "At least, I don't." Akira didn't wake up alone, but he woke up laying on the couch, Shindo sleeping on a futon on the floor beside him.
5. Akira's never been one to condone violence before. He had always prided himself on being able to stay calm in high-pressure situations. His father had tried to model that kind of behavior in life, said it was important to always appear in control of one's self. His father, obviously, never had had to travel with Hikaru before. "Train's kinda late." "It's only been 2 minutes, Shindo," Akira replied very calmly. Yeah, I guess. A few seconds. "You sure you know our connection?" Akira gritted his teeth and prayed for strength. "Yes, as do you, since you kept double-checking it all week. Just want to make sure I'm not missing anything," Hikaru grumbled, fiddling with the strap of his duffel bag. He was leaning up against a pillar, anxious eyes scanning the train station. "You take the train all the time," Akira snapped. "What makes you think you'll miss anything? We've been planning this trip for ages, I've got a clear plan of our route, and if you're so worried about something going wrong, then you should have been more involved in the planning." "I was involved in the planning," Hikaru said irritably. "You're just such a control freak about everything that I could barely get a choice in edgewise." He was aware of people around them giving them dirty looks. "How many times did I ask for your opinion?" Akira was shouting now. "And always the same answer. Oh, sure, or yeah, whatever, sounds good. You didn't try at all." "Whatever." Hikaru brushed it off uncharacteristically. Akira stood there, fuming for a moment.
"Whatever,"
he mocked, making his voice sound 10 times stupider and lower. Hikaru did a double take, looking up from his nervous fiddling with his bag. Akira could see he was trying hard not to smile. "I don't sound like that." "Yes, you do," Akira said resolutely, mouth twitching. "Like you're a teenager again."
"Yes, you do,"
Hikaru said simperingly, making his voice high-pitched and proper. "And if I'm a teenager, then you're my bossy old auntie." "I wouldn't be so bossy if you'd keep your stream of consciousness to yourself," Akira scoffed, and Hikaru rolled his eyes, and they were both silent again. Now he was beginning to understand why everyone said him and Hikaru fought like an old married couple. "I'm kinda out of it," Hikaru said shortly as their train hissed into view. "Didn't sleep too well last night." Akira was still in an unforgiving mood. "Did you go to bed early, like I said?"
"Jesus, yeah,"
Hikaru sighed, shrugging his duffel bag onto his shoulder.
"I just didn't sleep well. Don't you ever let up?"
Akira tucked a strand of hair behind his ear, a little guilty. He followed Hikaru as they boarded the train alongside the stream of people on their commute. In truth, Hikaru had been a bit standoffish about this trip to Inoshima, even though he was the one to suggest it. When he brought it up, Akira agreed readily enough. A trip to the go-playing city would be enjoyable, a welcome shake-up to his regular routine. But the closer the date drew, the more skittish Hikaru seemed to become, reacting to Akira's reminders of their plans with lukewarm grunts or hums. Akira couldn't really understand, until one day Hikaru stated out of the blue his first contribution to what he wanted to do on their trip, visit Honinbo Shusoku's grave. This struck Akira as something he shouldn't push the point on, and he accepted the change in plans. He had long since known about Hikaru and his strange connection to Shusoku, and by extension Sai, and hoped the visit might bring some clarity to the question of how they were all connected. Akira had been waiting oh so patiently for the answer for years. But if Hikaru was going to act like a spoiled brat for the majority of their trip, Akira was prepared to wait a little longer. Once they had found a place to actually sit, a miracle, Akira slung his duffel bag over his knees and tried to quiet his mind. Hikaru bounced his leg next to him, up, down, up, down, up, down, like a hyperactive kid on a pack of Smarties. God, if he wouldn't even sit still, Akira would make him. Akira's hand snapped out and came to rest on Hikaru's leg, effectively holding him down onto the seat. Hikaru blessedly went still. The train began to move, The people standing around them swaying slightly and tightening their hold on the overhead straps.
Akira, Hikaru said quietly. I'm sorry.
They hardly ever apologized for a fight. Akira suddenly became aware that he was still holding onto Hikaru's leg, and he hurriedly put both hands on the duffel bag in his lap. He cleared his throat.
No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have grabbed you.
No, not about that. I don't care, Hikaru said roughly.
I'm sorry I'm not going to be very fun on this trip. I'm trying.
Akira softened, now feeling guiltier than ever, envisioning a go-board between the two of them. Hikaru had just pushed them both into new territory.
It's all right. You didn't sleep well.
I didn't sleep well because I'm worried about this, going to Inoshima. Akira couldn't help but get a little offended. You were tossing and turning over spending a few days with me?
Hikaru laughed unexpectedly.
No, no, you keep missing the point. His face went quiet, looking away from Akira's face. The last time I went to Inoshima was right after... when I stopped playing for a while. It suddenly dawned on him. Of course this would bring back bad memories. He felt a little stupid for not seeing it before.
Then why did you suggest we go? He asked non-judgmentally.
Hikaru squirmed a little.
I just wanted to do this.
He swallowed.
And I wanted it to be with you.
Akira's chest was suddenly buzzing. The hand that had latched onto Hikaru's leg twitched. Akira cleared his throat yet again.
Then take all the time you need, he said honestly. I don't mind if you're not going to be much fun. I'm never fun anyway.
Hikaru laughed a little.
That's not true. You tell that to me all the time.
Akira protested, faux indignant.
You're always saying how much I'm a stick in the mud.
Nor always, Hikaru hummed, stretching his legs as far in front of him as he could go without touching the person in front of him.
You're really fun when you get all worked up. How many times did I ask for your opinion?
He squawked. More people on the train giving them dirty looks now. Perfect. Akira shoved him in the shoulder and Hikaru laughed, which Akira took as a victory. He decided to enter uncertain territory as well.
I'm sorry that I was short with you.
Nah, it's fine. Hikaru crossed his arms, grinning. If you apologized for every time you were an asshole, you'd never say anything constructive. Akira raised his eyebrows.
You know what, Hikaru? I take it back. And I don't accept your apology from earlier either.
Ah! Hikaru doubled over, clutching his chest.
How can I go on without the blessing of the great Akira Toya?
I suppose you'll have to manage, Akira said primly, lips threatening to crack into a smile. Hikaru straightened up again, a gleam coming into his eye.
Come on, there's got to be some way I can get myself back into your good graces.
He was leaning in closer now, like how close they usually get when they're arguing over a go-board. But there's no board between them now. Or maybe there always is, always something they're fighting over, reaching towards, daring each other across.
No, Akira responded, mouth dry, though he didn't understand why.
I think you're always damned now.
Why are you so cruel?
Hikaru said lowly, a grin spreading across his face.
I could always be crueler.
Don't think that's possible.
Keep pushing me like you did at the station, and you'll see.
Akira blinked in surprise as soon as he said it. He never says these kinds of things, things that could be misconstrued. He began to feel very self-conscious, made worse by the fact that Hikaru seemed delighted at his response. His friend opened his mouth, and Akira was almost afraid at what would come out of it. Instead, Hikaru was cut off from whatever earth-shattering thing he could have said by a large yawn. It was almost cute, charming.
Sorry,
Hikaru mumbled, easing back into his side of the bench.
Hope I didn't get you with my bad breath.
Well, charming certainly didn't last for long.
It's fine. He said, subdued now,
afraid to say too much. You didn't get a good sleep last night. Hikaru nodded absent-mindedly, rubbing at his face.
I guess I could try to sleep here.
Akira smiled a little, fond, though God knew why. As long as you don't paralyze your neck.
Don't have to.
Hikaru was beginning to sound tired indeed, and Akira looked away from him to idly look around the crowded train interior. Suddenly there was the weight of Hikaru's head on his shoulder, his hair tickling the side of Akira's neck. Akira froze.
Is this okay?
Hikaru mumbled, deadly serious. Akira shook his head, and Hikaru tensed, before he hurriedly continued.
No, I mean it's okay. It's fine.
Hikaru relaxed again, his breath becoming even. The train moved under them, rhythmic, the scenery passing them by through the windows. Him and Hikaru had fallen asleep together many times. This was no different, really. Except that he felt like they were utterly alone, despite the crowd all around them. Except how the sight of Hikaru's slack hands as they rested atop his own duffel bag made his heart clench. Akira tentatively, very slowly, rested his own head on top of Hikaru's. Hikaru made no movement, no indication of displeasure. Akira still said defensively,
I'm feeling tired too.
Hikaru only hummed. Akira closed his eyes for a moment, trying to savor how this felt, how uncomplicated. The next thing he knew, the rumbling of the train had grown still beneath him, and he felt a warm, stable pressure under his cheek. He swallowed, his throat dry, and groggily sat up. The light was coming in through the train from a different angle than before. Hikaru grinned down at him from where Akira had previously been resting his head on his shoulder. His cheeks burned in embarrassment.
This one is our stop, Hikaru said softly.
Akira grunted, straightening up and avoiding eye contact. Now he was the one busying himself with his duffel bag.
I guess you were the one that really needed a nap after all, huh?
Hikaru said teasingly.
Hikaru?
Akira stood up from the bench, stretching his neck.
Do shut up.
Hikaru let loose a torrent of laughter. Akira's cheek was still warm from being pressed against his shoulder.
Plus one. Akira came to at the now familiar sound of stones clacking. He rubbed the sleep out of his eyes and pulled back the futon covers, glancing over at the empty space next to him. The digital clock on the wall said it was 5:30 a.m., the window facing the outside dark as pitch. He sighed. Figures. He stood groggily, padding softly from their bedroom to down the hallway to finally emerge in the playing room. You shouldn't be up, Akira announced from the doorway, folding his arms resolutely. He could have looked up at him, bags falling in his eyes, so intent, as they always were. He was sitting in front of their goban, playing out a game he's most likely replayed hundreds of thousands of times. The only light slunk in from the lamppost through the window, casting everything in a murky haze. I know, he could have said quietly, placing another stone. Akira continued to watch him from the doorway. How is sitting up early going to serve you when you fall asleep at the board tomorrow? Hikaru ignored him, so invested in the game at hand. Akira's eyes glazed over the board, finding a familiar pattern of the stones that he had seen so many times. You and Sai? He asked quietly, kneeling next to him. Hikaru nodded pensively, and Akira recognized the old flash of grief in his eyes. Like the shimmer of a stone underwater that's been long turned over and over until the edges are smooth from water. Akira sighed deeply and watched the stones dance around each other. It was years ago now that Hikaru had told him the truth about Sai, though it hadn't felt like the truth at the time. Akira had been angry with him for a while, convinced he was making light out of it all. Though all the evidence pointed to the astounding and unbelievable conclusion. In fact, it all made sense once Akira accepted the fact that Sai himself didn't make sense. a ghost, a mentor, a master, a friend, a guardian. Gone, he could have said through thick tears. Just gone one day. No explanation why. It was one of the worst parts, he'd said, that he never knew if it was his fault or not, and that his legacy all rested on him. It is because of this that Akira can understand Hikaru's drive to win the Honinbo title tomorrow, possibly better than anybody else. Akira sat quietly at his side as Hikaru played out the game until the end, with Sai winning handily, Hikaru's jaw clenched, visible even in the dark. He bowed his head over the board, rubbing his eyes, suddenly looking tired. Akira reached out and wrapped an arm around his shoulder, guiding him to rest his head on Akira's shoulder. Such a display of affection used to be quite unnatural for him, but extended time around Hikaru definitely had served to change him. Didn't it always? Hadn't it always? Loving Hikaru was easy, but finding ways to express it continued to be challenging sometimes. Hikaru's eyelashes fluttered against the side of his neck. I need to win this, he said quietly, with a conviction that spoke more of desperation than determination. You will, Akira promised. And if you don't, you can try again. A short pause before Akira smiled slightly in the dark. I'll whip you into shape for next time if need be. Make you play games over and over until you have no choice but to win. He could have hummed a laugh. Yeah, I have no doubt about that. Control freak. Akira pet through Hikaru's hair. You're going to win, he said lovely. I can feel it. Hikaru huffed and pressed his face harder into the side of Akira's neck. It would be an insult to his memory if I lost. The only way you could insult his memory would be to play a careless game, Hikaru. He kissed Hikaru's hair lightly. And I don't think you're capable of that. Admittedly, this was different than the usual encouragement Akira gave him, which he had heard others describe as taunting, vitriolic, and intense. But he could sense Hikaru needed something different tonight. The longer they were together, the more mornings they woke up side by side, Akira was growing better at guessing his moods, piercing apart all the threads in the tapestry that made Hikaru Hikaru. Hikaru relaxed a little, nodded. Let's go back to bed. I'm sorry to wake you up. Akira squeezed his hand. Never be sorry. Hikaru gathered up the stones from his board and got to his feet with Akira. They filed out of the room and back to bed, leaving the Go board behind them to gleam in the moonlight. The end. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this spot week, please consider stopping by the original fic as well. Is it all for you? Give it all for you. Datte, tsumazuki nagara tte, kuchi de iu hodo naku janai hazu de sho. Matte, mou sukoshi wakatte kuretara kitto, motto ii ame ga furu kara.